Welcome to the Spinfoil Theory Podcast with your hosts, Taylor B. and The Bagels.
Hello.
Hello. This is an advanced session podcast, sort of expecting you to know at least the broad strokes about the topic beforehand. And speaking of topic, this week's topic is, take it away, The Bagels.
It is whether or not the Drifter is Pahanan.
Or Pahanan is the Drifter, depending on how you look at it. So we're going to take a stab. We're going to sort of give different arguments of the theory. And then I think at the end we'll give a yes ma'am, no ma'am. And let the world know how we feel about it in a never-ending scale where the numbers mean nothing. Sort of where I'm feeling about that. All right, the Bengals, do you want to take this one away or do you want me to take this one away?
Go for it.
Oh, go for it. All right. So the crux of this argument is that, as some of you or many of you may know, Pahanan dies in the Crucible very publicly to Dredgenyor. Dredgenyor is using the thorn and just like actually murders him. Now, I think it's very important to note, Dredgenyor does not shoot his ghost. It just says that he kills Pahanan. So, fast forward into the Shin Malfur lore that was released earlier this year. Basically, the whole story that we go through when we're recreating the Thorn the first time, where we hear different Dredgens fight Shin Malfur and they die or whatever. Or not whatever, but they die, and there's like this whole like subsequent story that I hope you're well aware of. Basically, that all turned out to be a ruse to sort of spread the rumor that there's this guy out there with a golden gun who's going to put you down if you start messing with the darkness and the weapons of sorrow. And so, like, Callum, the Dredgen who's being killed by Shin in mission, in game, you find out later in lore that he was in on it. He didn't actually kill his ghost. His ghost is fine. He's happy with, like, staying dead for however long or forever to help Shin with his quest. And so it kind of goes back to, say, like, the original Shadows of Yore that we read about in D1 are sort of these people who Shin Malfur were coaching and working with, the Drifter included, in sort of planning this ruse to sort of deter Guardians from pursuing Weapons of Sorrow in the Darkness, like I said. So the crux of this whole argument is that there's a passage that Shin eventually makes as he writes you letters. I believe this is as you create the Lumina, where he talks about why Jaren shot first but missed when Jaren Ward was, this is back in the Dwindler's Ridge story, why Jaren would have possibly missed. Jaren Ward never missed. Like, Shin Malfur had seen him fight like a dozen times, he never missed. And so he starts wondering why he missed that shot. And then he starts wondering, or actually, no, I got that completely backwards. Forgive me, everyone. Jaren Ward was the fastest, and Dredgenyor drew first and put him down with the thorn. And so Shin Malfur is reflecting upon the end of the Dwindler's Ridge story, where Shin Malfur is drawing on him, and basically he's saying, like, he doesn't think he would have been as fast as Jaren Ward, or that he could have pulled and shot faster than Dredgenyor, but somehow he still gets the first shot off. So basically, Shin draws back, and Dredgenyor doesn't even fire, and he was faster than Jaren Ward, the person who taught Shin Malfur everything he knows. So the biggest crux of that, to me, is that there's like maybe a larger game afoot, especially subsequently with Shin Malfur. So I think the crux of this theory, which isn't even originally mine, I think the crux of this theory, though, is that if Dredgen Yor or Rezil Azir, one of the greatest guardians like ever, let Shin Malfor kill him, then perhaps some of the other things he did very publicly, just as Shin Malfor would subsequently do, were also part of a ruse. And the reason that I think a lot of people draw this connection is there are some parallels, mentions of cephalopods and different, and different aspects of both characters. Like both of them have heavy machine guns that they absolutely adore. And a few other references. I think that's why some people draw the connection to where they say, maybe the actions of Dredgen Yor at the end of Dwindler's Ridge like weren't the first sort of like ruse actions to create this sort of legend that that followed him about Dredgens and Weapons of Sorrow and what have you. So it's sort of suggesting that Pehaenin of Kabir's Fireteam fame, who died at Dredgen Yor's hand, though there's no record of his ghost dying, perhaps wasn't a true death, and that this person was maybe Pehaenin at large was just another persona of the Drifter.
Okay. So do you mind if I
Oh no,
cut
please
in and
come in, like please come in and like smash that. That's just me explaining what the theory is, not my opinion, you folks. Please, please take it away, the bagels.
So I did a little research back on Pehaenin, and the timeline as I see it, I don't think Pehaenin was actually part of Kabir's fire team. I think Pehaenin was actually in the Vault of Glass after Kabir's fire team went in first. That's
Interesting. Go on.
so it seems like from there's a lore card from D1 that references that that Pehaenin respected Kabir and viewed him as a almost like a role model. That might not be quite the right word, but it certainly makes it feel more like that his he went in separately from the first team.
Interesting.
I'm not quite sure on Praedith when he would have gone in if he was part of Kibir's fire team. That one's a little bit more up in the air to me, but I definitely feel like that Pehaenin was actually in there later.
So is this sort of suggesting Kabir's fire team or the Guardians who got erased who weren't Kabir, and then anyone who went in subsequently was like not actually part of his fire team? Or what are you saying here?
I'm saying that Kabir's fire team, they were erased from time.
The
And
other two
then
boys, or girls,
I
or gentry.
actually lean towards Praedith having been part of the secondary team that would have gone in. But I need to do a little bit more research on that aspect itself. Pehaenin comes in, Praedith gets lost to the vault. Eventually signaling out in that lore section that we got in the garden lore. And then Pehaenin escaping goes crazy, essentially creates super good advice in order to stem his
Ooh,
loneliness.
but that's not my. I believe, if I recall correctly, super good advice is something that he finds within the Vault of Glass, and that's how he's able to escape.
Is that how it works?
That was my understanding, because it was or at least like my headcanon. So nothing to the thing. My headcanon for that was basically super good advice was also an AI. So it could pick the right path even when like the Vault of Glass was fucking with Pehaenin.
That is
Like
also true.
if everything they're presenting you is a hologram and this thing sees an infrared, it's like, oh no, it's this way. Fuck those holograms.
Had
Like
not considered
as a
that.
very like weird example, like, but that was always my headcanon. It was basically like he had like another set of eyes, another like another thing to help figure out how to get out of the Vault of Glass. That's why he was able to escape.
Okay. It's an interesting idea. And honestly, I don't know if we have any information one way or the other. That's definitely possible. That would actually make sense because how else does he get out and everybody else that he goes in with, particularly Praedith and the fire team members that are clearly no longer remembered.
Well, that makes me wonder if it was like originally a raid team.
Yeah, that'd be my thought process
Or
because he could.
maybe it's like when you go to Resco Take O3, she's like, "We were a fire team of nine." Like, you can have a fire team of nine?
Right? Why can't we do that?
Yo, I would show up for that adventure. It would be three people literally doing everything, and everyone else just like dancing in the background, tagging in as needed. But
Interesting. I like that spin on it. I hadn't really considered that. But I guess to take it further, as far as the timeline seems to fit to me, that the original Vault of Glass raid via Kaber, it seems to be after the Great Disaster. I think that's pretty well established. I'm not
Great,
100% sure.
how do you mean great disaster?
I mean the attempted moon landing where all the Guardians attempted to destroy Crota originally.
Oh, that's there's a name for that battle. It's escaping me. Twilight Gap? Twilight Gap.
Well, no, Burning Lake is probably what you're thinking of.
Oh, is
Burning Lake, and
Twilight Gap's
then
on
the Great
Earth, isn't it?
Disaster
Twilight Gap's on
is
Earth, yeah.
yeah. No, it's fine. I'm looking at a timeline right now. I'm just kind of read through
Ooh,
that.
which one are you looking at?
The wiki for Destinypedia
Check out
has.
Disneypedia does a great job. There's another one that I think the Lore Network links to, but it's I think it's put together by the guys who did a Ghost Stories podcast.
Okay.
It's just another like I think they're very succinct, probably both of them, but it's just another like way to present the information.
But anyway, my thought process here, I'm going back to there's the Ancient Apocalypse Warlock armor set that you get from Gambit, like the OG Gambit set. That has the lore of the Drifter going to that crazy world that we have very little information about with the beasts that suppress your light. And one of the first things that it notes in there, anyway, my crew, or a little subset of it, we leave the system together. Dawn of the City Age at that time. We were looking for something greater than light because we had seen that light it can be cause of so much strife. So what I point to is that Dawn of the City Age line. We know that the Drifter was around when the Iron Lords were stomping about, which predates the City Age. So, what this suggests is that the Drifter left prior or right shortly after the establishment of the city, and he therefore cannot be Pehaenon because Pehaenon's raid on the Vault of Glass would have taken effect after the Great Disaster, which was definitely within the City Age.
Oh yeah, that's a very strong point. It's a very strong point, yeah, 'cause if he's going out into the deepest parts of the system with his hauler, that to your point, I think he sort of his character in game encourages you to get one. He's like, just get a hauler, go into deep space, do it, leave this world behind. And I mean, I feel like that's a hell of a thing to say for someone who like literally did that and decided to come back.
Right.
Like, you did it and you're here telling me I should do it, but yet you're here. You didn't stay. It's so great you decided to leave. Like, that's just me. But yeah, I think that's a good point. I would only submit that As we know from other parts of the lore, the Drifter's gone by so many names, lived so many lives, told so many stories to facilitate his persona, that I think it's like kind of fair to say any story we get directly from him might be bullshit.
Absolutely. And I do take that with a grain of salt. He is absolutely an unreliable narrator, the definition of it, in fact.
Right?
I would say.
I still say he's more trustworthy than what's her name? The Praxic Fire
Oh, Honor?
yeah, like I've never even met you. You just emailed me and told me to spy
Right?
on some dude. Anyone says like, "Oh no, I sided with the Vanguard." Did you really? Seems to me the Vanguard said to leave him alone, and then this chick shows up with her Praxic Fire and then wants to do her own thing. And then just emails you, never having seen each other face to face. Seems a little weird.
Budget can afford voice actors that season.
Dude, I mean, even if she was like silent, you want to do a cutscene where, like, you meet in a parking lot and she's wearing a trench coat and just hands you a letter. Like, I would have taken that as more trustworthy, even still, than an anonymous email.
How did you even find an abandoned garage that survived
I
the
mean, maybe it's a hangar. Everyone's got to park their ship somewhere. Like, okay. Speaking of that, like, parking, with all the guardians there are, with all like the security in the last city, how does it not bug the shit out of anyone? There are whole abandoned parts of the tower. Of like the tower, like city wall network.
Oh, I see what you mean. I.
That seems like a
Yeah.
huge like lapse in security.
I don't know the answer to that. Maybe the answer is they have automated defenses like Trevor.
I mean, if we got Trevor's roaming those abandoned towers, then you know what?
Think
I sleep safe in the tower each night,
good.
knowing that there's nothing getting past that boy. He is the commander of all hallways. As long as they have floors. Okay, that makes me feel better. That makes me feel better. But yeah, I gotta say, I feel like for this theory, you really have to say that other parts of the lore, and I feel like you'd have a good argument for it, but you have to say other parts of the lore are lying to you or like unreliable because of who they come from.
Sure.
And I feel like it sort of calls into question anything and everything the Drifter has done. So like reliably we can say the flashbacks we had in Season of the Drifter for the Reckoning.
Oren.
With Orin, who would eventually become the emissary, right? I feel like those cutscenes are reliable because we're not seeing it through his eyes, we're seeing it through hers. So we can say like
Correct.
that's what happened. Or at least we can like more strongly say that's what happened because she's like detached from that now. Or at least like we're meant to believe she is. Whereas like anything he tells you, like I don't know. I mean, the Drifter, air quotes, is like I think the third persona we can like reliably say he's assumed or like we've been made aware of.
We've got Wu Ming, we've got Eli, we've
Right?
got I think there's another one even, I forget.
Pahanan? Really? Go on.
No, I get where you're coming from, absolutely. On Drifter as an unreliable narrator. My added note to that, though, is the timeline just seems to mesh pretty well with the Drifter as a guardian leaving the tower around the start of the City Age. The Orin joining the Nine and becoming the emissary definitely happened around that time frame. We know that they were both together as part of the oh, what's the term? The guard, the
Pilgrim Guard?
Pilgrim Guard. They were both part of that. We know that much. And it seems like Orin realized who the Drifter was, as a liar, as a manipulator at that point in time, and then went off on her own, in search of the Nine at that point in time. That seems pretty well established, unless there's some gigantic time leap at that point in time.
Well, I mean, I feel like that would all fit. The only thing that, because we have no origin of Pahannan, we know that he published a book. We know that he was part of Kabir's fire team. We know that he was famous for like quips and things like that. But like, we don't have any definitive start point to his story because, I mean, Kabir's fire team, that happens after the city's well established. Like, the Vanguard sent them on that. Or at least like made them aware of it, as far as I'm aware, unless someone has like other information.
No, it definitely seems like either the Vanguard spurred the original Vault of Glass missions,
Right?
or
However many before that we're
at
aware
least
of, yeah.
raised the issue to Kabir's fire team.
Right, so like my only thought there is if all this stuff is happening at like the early city or pre-city age. Before the Vanguard's established, which we learn through constellations, through the eyes of the speaker, right? I kind of wonder, for sake of argument, because I hope I'm not like representing that like I'm heavily siding one way or the other right now, but I hope for exploring this theory in sake of argument, I kind of want to say like there's a gap there. Like Eli not being a very popular or known figure to begin with, as far as we know. Like we know he's running with the guard, but honestly, the only person he seems to really interact with is Orin. To any like full length, like I feel like he'd be forgettable otherwise. And then since we have no start point for Pahannan, who's to say he couldn't have been like, okay, I'm leaving. You know what? Fuck you guys, I'm gonna get a holler and I'm gonna go to the edge of the galaxy. And then he shows up like 3 weeks later with a mask on. He's shaved, he's put on a hairpiece, he's got contacts in.
I would tend to believe that
Stopped speaking in
somebody.
a southern accent.
I mean, it's possible that he somehow altered his appearance, but wouldn't somebody remember Pahannan? Because he definitely is remembered.
Everyone remembers Bahannon, but I'm saying we have no start point for Bahannon. So you could forget about Eli, and then he's just like, "No, my name's Bahannon. I don't know. Fuck Eli. I don't know that dude. Like, I'm an infrequent."
What I'm saying is Pahannan to the Drifter, as we see him. Wouldn't the original occupants of the tower, wouldn't they recognize Pahannan and say, "Hey, you're Pahannan. No, I'm the Drifter," sort of thing.
I think even Cade noticed that the Drifter we see looks very different even from how people remembered him, because Cade remarks about how he's not nearly as handsome as he used to be.
Okay.
I'm just saying. So if he used to be like a handsome dude, or handsomer, depending on how you look at it. I'm not here to steer your judgment. You like what you like. But
I guess I have no real strong feeling there. I just it seems like somebody would remember seeing him previously and comment on him looking
well, I
familiar,
mean, but
but
the city's been up for what, like 800 years?
and some of the guardians have been around for thousands.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, I don't know, man. How like they're guardians. How great is their memory when you live that long? No, like that's like a serious question.
Sure,
Like even the
sure.
machine ones have to reboot themselves.
That's a fair point. At what point do you stop remembering what somebody looks at, especially if you weren't particularly involved with them in the first place?
Yeah, like you might remember the name or you might say there's records of him. I mean, shit, like there's a good chance that Korra and Lakshmi interacted with Prateth, but they don't remember him. Like, even though he clearly still exists, he's been like erased, he's been removed from time. He still exists, but he doesn't like count in this timeline? It's really weird.
Sure. Well, I'll grant you that. I guess what the route I wanted to take there. Let's say Hayden becomes the Drifter after exiting the Baltic Blast. We do know that there was a significant shift in Hayden's mental state after leaving the Baltic. We do know that for a
Oh
fact.
yeah, he wouldn't let super good advice leave his side, though he notably, I believe, did not have it when he is murdered in the Crucible. He didn't have it on him.
I'm not sure that he was murdered in the Crucible.
Oh no. He's supposedly like killed in the Crucible by Dredge and Yor with the thorn. But there's no note of his ghost being killed. It's like he got killed and he couldn't be resurrected or whatever.
I think he was actually killed on Mars. If you remember in
What?
D1, we find Super Good Advice on Mars, or we do the quest on Mars. The lore speaks that
I mean,
Dredge
there's
and
Crucible
Yor.
maps on Mars, though.
So here's my thought process. The lore says that Dredge and Yor was no longer allowed in the Crucible after killing Pehanan. It does not state that he killed him in the Crucible. There is a distinction there.
There's a, No, because they s I can't
I
remember
know.
off the top of my head. I want to say that there's a reason I have it as linked to the Crucible.
I mean, there is a link to the Crucible. It's just I don't think that it's as direct as you're taking it.
This is my Marge Simpson.
I mean, it could have been in the Crucible, but it leaves that intentionally.
I mean, if he gets killed on Mars, though, like the Crucible is on Mars, like there's Crucible maps there.
And that's definitely possible. That it definitely was possible that it was in the Crucible on Mars. I'm just stating that. The grimoire from D1 is very vague about that. It leaves
Fair enough. I don't remember off the top of my head, but
open.
that's okay. I feel like we've explored this one enough. The bagels, final verdict. What do you say?
I'm gonna say it's not very plausible that, in fact, I would say it's probably unlikely that the Drifter is Behanan. I would be willing to give that a solid -5 on our rating scale.
Of what? Like, is that -5 plausible,
Don't
or is that like
know.
plus
It's
five not gonna happen? Like, it's a very ambiguous scale.
+5, not gonna happen.
Plus five
Negative
not gonna
five
happen.
on the plausible Scott scale.
Negative plausible. You might say implausible. Plus five implausible, depending on how you look at scales.
Something like that.
I'm gonna say it's at neutrality. I'm gonna say, like, I don't have any strong feelings or indicators that it is true, but I feel like there's enough wiggle room with all the players involved to where it could be, though I do admit that there is some, like, gymnastics that would have to, like, take place for that to be the case. So maybe, like, a 2 to 5 implausible. Probably not the case.
Fair enough. I can
But
respect
like
that.
I would say that there's like maybe like a glimmer of a chance, but like while it's fun, like it's just there's even me trying to work it out in my head, like there's some mental gymnastics and it really relies on like a lot of other things that are if statements being true. And I can't really say it would happen.
Yeah, there is definitely enough wiggle room that it could be the case. But it just doesn't seem to line up to me. That was more so my thought process. So
Yeah, no fair. Well, good sir. Are there
yeah.
any shout-outs you would like to shout out?
I'm gonna shout out to Bungie again this week because what
What?
gives me pause is one of my favorite lore pieces that they've put
G-g-g-g-
out. I know it's cheating a little bit, but
A little bit.
I love that piece.
I would like to mirror that shout out to you, Lord Bungos. I would like to additionally shout out to the Lord Network, whom we are proud members of. And this is the first podcast that, as we're publishing it, you can find us on Podbean, iTunes, and Spotify. Yeah,
We're big boys now.
we're definitely more, we're definitely spreading it out there, boys, right now. We're out there just spreading it wherever we can.
I'm not gonna touch
I gotta
that.
tell you, anything you thought, that's on your sick mind. In the context of what I said, I was very wholesome. So think about your think about that. Think about your reaction.
I try to keep this a PG
Oh,
podcast.
dude, I listed this as explicit. I feel like I'm maybe PG-13 because we say like fuck maybe like once or twice in the whole episode, but like, you know, we're definitely like if we were on TV, we'd be after 9:30 as many times as we say shit. But anyhow, all right, guys. It was great. And with that, we're signing off. Bye-bye.
See you later.